Let's turn together to Psalm 91. I'm hoping that this will be the last in our little mini-series that we did on why is it so hard to be consistent in prayer? And we've been touching upon some of the thoughts in Psalm 91, and I want to read again the first 10 verses of this passage of Scripture that focuses our heart upon the secret place of the Most High God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, and for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open our hearts tonight as we consider this question of why it is so hard to be consistent in prayer. And I pray that you'd encourage us by the wonderful things that you share in this passage about those that gather themselves under the feathers, under the shadow of the Almighty, and the protection that's given there. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My wife and I are now officially chicken farmers. Jonathan brought home 6 chickens. I feel like my wife and I are characters in Green Acres. My wife is like the wife that was on Green Acres. She wants nothing to do with the chickens. All right, we had to go over her objections to get the 6 chickens. All right, and I check in with her each day. Hey, honey, have you checked on the chickens yet? No, that's your job. So I go out each day faithfully, and we've had them now for almost 3 weeks, and they're growing by leaps and bounds. But they don't have a mother chicken. They have a father chicken, and that's me, all right? And I go, and every time I'll start talking to them when I come out the back door. Hopefully Brenda didn't hear it tonight whenever I was out there talking to my chickens, walking up there to open the door on them to put their feet in, check their water, and so forth. But I start talking to them, and they always run from me. They run over in the corner, and they sit over in the corner. It's just going at it, you know. And I said, break it up, girls. Get over here. And I talk to them, and I put the food out there for them, and I talk to them. And they'll actually start coming over whenever they see I've got the food and so forth like that. But if you do any sudden movements, all right, like bend down to go inside or whatever, it's over in the corner. And they all turn their heads away from you, okay? It's like saying, if I don't look at the enemy, maybe they'll go away, right? So they're all turned their backs toward me, and every once in a while one will do this. They don't have a mama chicken. Now, if mama was in there, what would they be doing? They'd gather up underneath mom, okay? Just out of nature. Go under mom. Find protection. Now, I couldn't help but think about my 6 chickens. They came from Tractor Supply. And they were little bitty things. They were so cute and everything. And now, they've turned ugly for some reason. There's just something about a chicken that's beautiful when it's born, and then it just gets uglier by the day. They got rid of their yellow, beautiful yellow coat, and now they've got brown feathers. They got long necks. Their beaks have turned ugly looking, you know. And they got scrawny legs. And they're getting bigger and bigger as they get up to the laying age. I figured that the economy of America will collapse well before my chickens actually start laying eggs. All right. So Beth and I will starve to death. We'll start killing the chickens. I think that's what we'll probably do. My wife will be out there helping with that. But we hope to have some eggs. All right. There was such promise. There was a little card over in Tractor Supply, and it said, These are great laying hens. Caught our eyes. Yeah. Can give up to 300 eggs a year if you get six. Well, that sounds really great. Then I started reading up about how old they have to be before they start laying those eggs. I'm going to be in a nursing home waiting for my chickens to finally say, I think we'll have some eggs, you know. I've got to talk to the expert over here. How long do I need to wait? I've had them for 3 weeks since they're born. She's not, how a long time. Thanks. I appreciate that, Joanna. You just encouraged me. I'm going to be having some chicken for supper. Probably before
6 months.
6 months? It didn't say that on the card down at Tractor Supply. 6 months.
Well, for 3 weeks already, maybe 5 months.
You sound like you're running for office. Are you a politician? All right. Now, I'm saying this because the picture that's given to us in this passage of Scripture is of a mother bird sheltering her chicks. Now, notice this, please, as I read last time. Verse 3, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, I mentioned already about how chicks are scared of loud noises. Boy, when I start clicking the hooks on that door, you can hear them run to the corner. All right? And then they look to see who's out there. They're scared of noise. Noisome pestilence. Now, we are to run and gather ourselves to whom? The Lord. Yes. The Lord is the one we run to. But isn't it odd how that as Christians, we don't do that very well? We'll run to our friends. We'll run to this person. We'll run to that person. We'll call this person. We'll call that person. Very rarely do we immediately go to the Lord and say, Lord, something sounds like something's coming down. Would you be my shadow? Can I get underneath your feathers? Folks, that's the safest place to be. The safest place to be is not with your best friend. Though psychology would tell you that. Psychologists are always talking about your accountability friends. I want to tell you something. The Bible knows nothing about that. It says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And who's that a reference to? It's Christ. It's the Lord. We've got to make it a habit of our lives to go and to gather ourselves under His wings. I've got this picture that I found of this poor looking hen right here. I mean, when you talk about ugly, she would not win a chicken beauty contest. That has got to be the ugliest thing I've laid my eyes on today. All right? And you see all of these legs up underneath here? Those aren't all hers. She only has two. The rest of them are her little pullets that are up underneath there. It's a rainstorm. And they're all hiding underneath Mama. And she looks like she's thrilled to death to have them. Right? Look at that smile on her face. Okay? Now she looks like that she was up all night long with a rainstorm and all those chicks up underneath there and she's wore out. But I want you to think about this. Feathers act as a protective covering for fowl, protecting it from cold, rain, sun, and injury. The feathers have a web of good firm texture, a strong shaft, the barbs and barbules and barbicels like chainmail. All right? They act as a protective garb for those little chicks. And they're closely and tightly knitted together, which provides an amazing protection from a variety of potential calamities. The feathers also serve as camouflage. Baby chicks will gather under the cover of a mother's wings for protection from the elements and the enemies until they get too big and Mama says, uh-uh. Not going to happen. We've all heard the stories about mama birds chasing their little ones. You're too big to be under mama. And eagles will bust up the nests and kick their little ones out. Say, it's time to start flying. And they'll actually kick them off the ledge and then dive down underneath there, catch them, bring them back up again, boot them off the edge. What are they doing? They're doing practice runs. And sooner or later, they start figuring out, you know, whenever I start doing this, I can fly. Yeah, and Mama's done her job. Amen? Now, we have the privilege as adult Christians, mature Christians, to gather under the wings of our Savior, to gather in the secret place of the Almighty God. You see, I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. Prayer is not about it's not the primary thing to be asking things. The primary thing is just be in the presence of the Lord. Just be in His presence and know His warmth and to hear His voice speaking to us through His Word. Open your Bible and pray. Pray over the Scripture. You know what it'll do? It'll bring you closer to Him. Because who said the words? The Lord Jesus did. His voice is still speaking in His Word. And we've got to slow down and start listening and not talking so much. Start listening. I think too much time, many times in our personal prayer lives, is spent on talking when we should be doing what? Be still and know that I am God. That's the picture that's given. I got to move quickly here. What is found in the presence of the Lord? Well, we find a refuge. We're told about that in verse 2. We have a refuge. And not only that, we are in not only a refuge, but we're inside of a real refuge. And what is the scriptural word? A fortress. A fortress. Just saying that word just sounds powerful. You ever been inside of Fort Pickens? Ever since I was a child, we used to make trips over to Fort Pickens. And those walls are almost 6 feet thick of brick and mortar. I mean, it's in there. And cannonballs bounced off of that fort during the Civil War and other times when it was attacked. It was a fortress. It was something of protection. The World War I wing that was added in 1916 has all rusted down. They've condemned it. But the fortress part is still going strong, almost to the 200-year mark. Now that's the difference. We have a fortress. Think about these words that are used here. The Hebrew word for refuge refers to a shelter from storms and danger. This shelter is like the bunkers that many Jews have in their homes today. Do you realize that most Jewish people have bunkers in their homes because of the rockets that are shot over by the Palestinians on a regular basis? These provide shelter from these small-scale attacks. In the figurative sense, when you say the Lord is your refuge, you are also declaring that He is your place of refuge. That's where you gather. That's where you go. The old World War II drills where people went down in the bunkers. And I remember as a kid, we would have nuclear tests. What? That was the biggest joke. Get under your desk and cover your head. Oh, what? If a nuclear bomb goes off, you will be in that position as you fry in radiation. All right? Under your desk. If you were K5, you were really protected because you were under a table. Right? That's not a refuge, is it? That's a joke. Now, if you go over to the old post office building, how many of you have been in the fallout shelter at the old 1940 post office here in Milton? You go down in there and you're getting down into 2 feet concrete. Top, sides, bottom. And you go down in there and it is snug. But you feel like you're in a refuge. That's the picture. And then the Lord is your fortress. In the Hebrew, the word is used in the sense of a castle or a stronghold or a place of defense and protection against large-scale attacks. The first one is smaller-scale attacks. The second one is big stuff. All right? That's the word that's used there. Large-scale attacks. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Whatever you might be going through right now, you can declare that the Lord is not only your refuge, but He's your fortress from large-scale attacks. He's our strong tower. That's the picture that's used there. Not only that, we're told in verse 2 that we are in God or in the Lord. There's no place safer. John describes it this way in chapter 10. We are in the hand of the Father, and then what else? The Lord's hand, Jesus Christ's hand, is upon us, and no man can pluck you out. What a picture! There's no safer place to be. I read about all the time of people that are building special bunkers out in the West. You probably have heard of them too, these end timers. And they've got years of food saved up, and they're down in this deep hole. That's just what I want to do. I want to go down there and eat canned food that was canned in 1984. Right? That's what I want to do. And I want to pedal and generate my power when the power goes off. And I'll be safe down there by myself because my wife won't be joining me there. Okay? She'll be turning me over to the men in the white coats at Chattahoochee. All right? People are living fear, but I want to tell you something. A Christian doesn't have to. Amen? We've got a fortress to go to. But if you're not used to getting under His wing, you're going to live in fear. When the noise comes up, you'll run over in the corner somewhere and snivel in fear. But what we need to do is gather ourselves under the One who is our refuge and our fortress. We are in God. And then there's another thought there. Number four, we have a covering. All right? A covering from the fowler. Now, a fowler is one that tries to snare birds, to catch birds, either to eat or to keep or whatever the purpose they might have, to sell. All right? That's what a fowler does. And we have a covering from that. One of the things that was recommended that because of the chicken hawks that we have in our area and birds of prey and so forth, you might want to put a net up. I'm not going to do that. All right? I get tangled up in things like that, and I'll be out there in the middle of the night tangled up trying to find one of my chickens. I remember years ago, I used to take care of Dr. Hobbs' chickens whenever they'd go away for 7 and 8 weeks. And I would get the call, Todd, I need you to take care of my chickens for 8 weeks. I didn't mind taking care of them, but he would put them in the vineyard. And there was net all over the place, and those chickens were forever getting stuck in that net. And I'd have to go in there, and I'd get clawed up trying to get them all untangled from the nets and so forth like that. And I finally said, Dr. Hobbs, don't put them in the vineyard. Just leave them out where they are, and I'll take care of them over there, because I spend more time in that vineyard trying to get them untangled from that net. And so he started leaving them over there. But, you know, chickens can be downright feisty. And they have these little spurs that they grow. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. And they box with them. And I was several times where Dr. Hobbs and I would go out there and cut those things off because we didn't want to get clawed to death, beat to death by a chicken. There's a lot of things that I'd like to die of a whole lot better than I would from being beat to death by a chicken. All right. That's just something I don't want to die that way. We have a shield from the fowler. A protection. God's just showing us all these different ways we're protected by Him. Number five, we have a protection from the plague of noisy calamities. A noisome pestilence is how it's translated in our King James Bible. And if you look at the words, it's a plague of noisy calamities. We live in a noisy world, do we not? The Bible is interesting in Psalm chapter 40. The Bible says that the Lord hath brought me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock. That word horrible in the Hebrew is in the same root as this one right here, noisy. A noisy pit. We live in a world where people love noise all the time. Some of them call it music. I don't call it music. Most of it's just noise. Beating and banging and all that kind of racket and so forth. It's noise! But the Lord comes in and He delivers us from that. How many of you like to sleep with a noisemaker? Okay? Put your hands. That's okay. I won't bite. Okay? I have a fan. All right? And it goes around. Me, 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 me. And it's saying, Todd, go to sleep. Todd, go to sleep. All right? And my wife has to have it on too, right, Beth? She has to. We have our fan. And it provides noise just enough. All right, but what I cannot stand is somebody down the street with their music blasting, all right, and it's saying, Todd, stay awake. Todd, stay awake, you know. And I'm not interested in that. My wife and I were rudely awakened several years ago by sheriff's deputies. And I got up, there was a big knocking at the door, and I went up to the door, and I'm in my PJs. I looked a sight, I'm sure. My hair was sticking up all over the place. And I looked out there, and they said, "Are you having a good time in there?" That's what the deputy said. And I said, "Well, I was sleeping until you knocked on the door. What's the problem, deputies? Step out here on the porch, please." So I stepped out on the porch with my chicken legs standing out there. And he proceeded to say, "We've gotten some numerous calls about noisy music coming out of your house." And I said, "Sir, there's a mistake here." I said, "Nothing in our house will make noise that loud." I said, we don't listen to that kind of stuff. And the other guy popped him on the side. "We're at the wrong house." And they started apologizing. "Oh, we're so sorry, Mr. Brainerd. We're sorry to get you up." I got a letter from the sheriff saying, apologizing for waking us up because they got the wrong house. It was down the street. Now, from this point on, I was thinking, we're going to put 6-foot letters or numbers on the side of our house, 6029 Kingswood Drive, so they could see it from the road or they could see it from the other side of Florida so they wouldn't make that mistake again. But I remember how embarrassed I was, you know, standing out there. And then I'd go back in there and try to lay down and go to sleep. My heart's going, you can't sleep like that. And I was praying, "All right, Pan, it's time for you to do your business now. Todd, go to sleep. Start going around again." It's all right to have that kind of noise, but this is a plague of noisy calamities, explosions. You know, the kind those poor people in Ukraine have been enduring for a full year now. Horrible explosions going off, killing thousands of people. And then the explosions of earthquakes and volcanoes erupting and those kind of things. Those are scary. And God says, "I'll protect you from those." Noisy calamities. Number 6, we are shielded from the terror of night and the threat of violence. I'll never forget, I got a newspaper article from Mom and Dad when I was at Bob Jones University telling about a family in Pensacola that were highlighted by the Pensacola News Journal a year or so before about how that they had such crime in the area of Brownsville that they put up metal bars over their windows, all right? But they made a terribly huge mistake. They put locks on them. And they had a fire in their house. And every one of them died, and all of them were by windows trying to get out of their house. And all I could think about, those people, all they wanted was security. All they wanted was security, and then they die from a fire. Misguided security. Hey, if we lock it on the inside with a padlock, we'll be really secure. Except you can't find the key in the dark, and you can't unlock it quick enough when there's a fire. And 5 people died in that house over in Brownsville. This was back in the 84, 85. They're a horrible, horrible thing. Listen, we're shielded from the terror of night and the threat of violence. You can pillow your head tonight, trusting underneath the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll watch over and protect you. He'll keep you safe. Number 7, we are shielded from the arrow and the destruction that cometh at noon. All right? Wouldn't it be neat to think about the fact that an arrow could be a missile? Looks very similar, does it not? But an arrow moves quietly through the air. You don't hear it until it strikes. And the Lord said, "I'll protect you from that." The choice is ours to make, though. And I'm going to close with this thought. You have got to put yourself under the shadow of the Almighty. A mother hen doesn't run around all over the place trying to gather all of her chicks. She makes noises. And they hear Mama's voice and they come to her. Christian, don't be running around fooled by the world thinking that they're going to give you protection. You listen for God's voice and you get yourself underneath His wings. Amen? Get yourself there. That's the secret place of blessing. If you decide to do the other, the fowler sets his trap. While you're running around doing your thing, and before long, you're going to be right in the middle of the trap, and the fowler will snare you, and you'll be in trouble. God wants us to stay in His presence. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd work in our hearts. Lord, these are not rocket science type truths. These are simple things. But so many times, the simple can be something that's very difficult when we complicate it with the world and with the world's idea of safety and security. Lord, I pray that we would learn to gather under Your wings and to know the warmth and safety and protection that You provide to Your children, where we can just be quiet and know Your presence and enjoy Your presence, but also be safe and secure. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.